In 2007, I was a young artist on top of the world. I had just finished a graduate degree at MICA in painting, and I'd spent 4 years working really hard to get my work to a point where it finally felt authentically mine. It was stylistically recognizable, and I think we described it in the program as a stream of consciousness, visual poetry. So I would combine all these different elements that I would just sort of find in my everyday world, images and text, and sort of combine them together in these surfaces. And that year I had shows in New York and Dallas and Atlanta and Baltimore and Washington. And things were going really well until January. In January of 2008, a friend of mine showed me an invite to an art show here in Baltimore. And she said, "Hey, is this your work?" And I looked at the card and I said, "No." But the work on the card was clearly stylistically identical to the work I had been developing. And the name on the card said Christine Bailey. And I knew that she was a MICA grad like me, but I didn't know her. And I really wasn't sure what to do. I thought maybe it was some sort of weird coincidence, an innocent mistake. So I Googled her. And her previous body of work was softcore porn that was sent to a factory in China to be painted in a factory and then sent back to the U.S. and showed here as a conceptual art project. To make matters even more confusing, the gallery that was sponsoring the show was a gallery that I had worked with in the past, and I had left the year before to work with a different gallery. So people thought that the work was mine. A lot of people who knew me very well, thought that the name was wrong and that this was my work. So it was a very strange position to be in and a little bit upsetting. I had a friend who knew both of us say, you know, all the work in the show looks like it's yours. So I had my new gallery contact my old gallery, who said by phone, "This work has nothing to do with Kara Ober. This is original work by Christine Bailey." And I checked even there was a statement, a written statement with the show, and even that sounded very much like my artist statement. So what do you do in this scenario? There's no art police. There's no one out there who can tell you what to do. So luckily, I didn't have to decide. The artist sent me an email after her show opened, and she said in her email that it was, in fact, a conceptual experiment in stealing my artistic identity. She said she wanted to see what would happen if she abandoned the myth of an ethical studio practice and in favor of a business model. She wanted to be the Old Navy to my The Gap. She said that since my work appropriated from so many other sources, that it was fair for her to appropriate from me in this way. This was hard to deal with. And again, a lot of people said, just leave it alone, don't say anything. I did email her back and sort of explain that to me, my work is very personal, and it's almost like having children that I love and care for, and this felt like a violation of that. And I said that what I would like, I mean, I wanted an apology, but I knew I wasn't going to get that. So I said, what I would like is for you to make a public statement explaining to the mailing list and the audience what this project actually is, because a lot of people still are thinking this work is mine, and I didn't think it was very good work. And to my surprise, she agreed. So I was feeling really good about this, but this is when the shit hit the fan. The Baltimore Sun put me on the front page. The headline was, "Is it homage or plagiarism? Local artist is unhappy that her work is being copied." She explained what the project was. the Baltimore Sun didn't get it. The article mostly focused on how I was unhappy. So, never read the comments. Then I got a call from the chief art critic of the Washington Post, Blake Gopnik, and he said he wanted to write about it because it was controversial. So a few days later, front page of the style section, my work, her work, side by side. And what he didn't tell me when he called me was that his wife was friends with the other artist and that she had shared my email with him. So my quote about my paintings being like my precious children that had been savaged was in a national newspaper. So in his review, he compared her to Leonardo da Vinci and Claude Monet and Marcel Duchamp. He said that she was brilliant because of the controversy that had been stirred up in Baltimore, that everyone was talking about this. People were very upset, and he thought this was just fantastic, and also that it's really unclear why she would pick my work to copy, because it really wasn't very original, it wasn't very interesting, and it wasn't very good. This is my first national newspaper review. And I had nothing to do with the project. I didn't make the work. I didn't have any control over what happened. So I did definitely develop a why me complex. I had all kinds of comments from people that thought they were telling me, you know, maybe if you made your work harder to copy, then it wouldn't have been copied, or all sorts of nice things. And I kept making my work. I kept on going, but I have to say that there was definitely an internalized sense of shame that came from this experience. Just the shame that I thought I was a good artist, you know? The shame that I thought I was deserving of success. And I got a therapist. And this was helpful. And I've continued to make artwork. And I still continue to feel that the pieces that I make are precious to me, like children. I think every work of art is an act of faith, and I think I did learn sort of a healthy boundary. Like having a child, you put your heart and soul into something, but then you separate from it. It goes out into the world. It's not you, you know? You have no control over how the world treats your work or your children, how it's received. And I think as artists, we have to acknowledge that and sort of love the piece while we're making it and then let it go. I've continued also in my career writing about the arts. So I'm an art writer. I'm the editor and founder of Be More Art, which is an online publication and also now a print magazine. And that experience really left a huge mark on me as an art writer. The idea of ethics, the idea of an ethical code being something that I can choose for a reason. And I think the reason that we have ethics is to build community and to build trust within a community. So as a writer, having empathy, having respect for the people whose work we're writing about, taking the time to listen and understand what they're doing, that's not always sexy in a news cycle. So choosing ethics and community over controversy and genius is a tough trade-off, and I'm not sure it always pays off, but I feel very strongly that that's the kind of world that I want to live in. Last thing that I learned from this experience that has stayed with me is before putting anything into writing, before putting anything into an email or a text, I stop and imagine that text in a national newspaper, and I ask myself if I will feel embarrassed, and if I am, then I just pick up the phone and call. Thank you.